Hello and welcome to the podcast series called Behind the Athlete. My name is Raf Agostino and I have the privilege of working at School Sport Victoria. You might have noticed that we're really excited by the athletes that have come through our Team Vic pathway, the athletes we're calling Team Vic alumni. These athletes have gone on to be elite athletes and even wear the green and gold and represent their country and become an Olympian. We're pretty excited by that. So we knew there were life lessons to be learned by talking to not just the athletes, but the people who are support staff and have played a significant role in these athletes becoming who they are. So enjoy this short podcast series called Behind the Athletes as we dive into the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, as we talk to parents, coaches, teachers, principals, anyone who's had a significant part in these Team Vic alumni athletes becoming elite athletes and Olympians. We're really excited and we hope you get lots of lessons out of this short series. Enjoy.
Did you know? School Sport Victoria offers 650,000 sporting opportunities in 31 different sports. At 10,700 events across the state, every single year. That's a lot of kids playing sport. And for over 25 years, the Victorian School Sports Awards have recognised more than 1,500 students, teachers and volunteers for excellence and outstanding contribution to school sport. Now that's a champion effort.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Athlete podcast. And today I'm joined by Rod and Michelle Dale, and also Erin Mead, who happens to be Bailey Dale's mum and dad and Bailey Dale's girlfriend. How are you?
Good, thanks, Raf.
Thank you, Raf.
Brilliant. That's good. Thanks for joining us today. You come from very different parts of the world, of course, and it's a pretty exciting week for the Dale and Mead family. Is that right?
Very exciting.
Yep, that's it. We've got the Mead household is supporting the D's in the grand final, and the Dales, we're all going for the Dogs at the moment, so it'll be a win-win on the weekend.
So a bit of tension there, Erin, in terms of who you're battling for, right?
Possibly, but I've got the colourful streamers up already around the house, so if Melbourne win, the white just has to come down and I'll be celebrating the red and blue anyway.
Colours are pretty similar there, pretty similar. Now, look, we're here to talk about Bailey Dale, and Bailey's come through the Team Vic program. He came through the Team Vic alumni program in regard to the AFL pathway, and he came through in 2008 as a 12-year-old boy. I don't know if you remember way back then, Mum and Dad, I'm sure you can, as
yeah.
a 12-year-old boy. Just talk us through what it was like back then as a 12-year-old, what he was like as a 12-year-old boy.
Oh dear, where do we start?
Very energetic. He loves sport, so yeah. Getting outside was his thing.
Yep.
He started playing football in at under nines at the Edifale Aspinall Junior Football Club, mm-hmm. and he basically played all his juniors with that club.
And he went to Chelsea Heights Primary School, which is just over where you guys are as well. And then high school, he went to John Paul College in Frankston. How supportive were the schools, the primary school and the high school, in terms of his sporting journey?
Oh, look, they were great. They were just really proud of him. Like, you know, in the Leader, back then it was the Leader newspaper, and they did a write-up of him and stuff. And the high school, Erin could probably tell you more about that, but they, even when he got drafted, you know, they put a thing on their Facebook site and that, everyone was really excited for him. So he still likes him.
So, Erin, you've known him for how long now? When did you meet Bailey?
Gosh, we would have met back in 2008, 2009 when we started high school together. So a fair few years now.
It is, and that's so I guess – in a sense, your high school, would you class yourselves as high school sweethearts? Would that be how you roll?
not self-proclaimed, but yeah, people add that label onto us, that's for sure.
So I guess you could tell us lots of stories about Bailey, but just talking about his, I guess, his sporting prowess, what was he like as a student, from as another student looking at him, what was he like as a student?
From, I guess, like a sporting aspect, like what Rod said, super energetic and good at every sport. So there was plenty of times at school when I know I can think of a time in year 12, we were in the same maths grade, and he asked the teacher, him and his mates asked the teacher if they could study in the classroom next door just to get a little bit of quiet and a bit of focus. And unbeknownst to the teacher, he was like, yeah, sure, of course. Like, that's really great, boys, that you're going to put your head down and study in the classroom next door. And lo and behold, they just snuck straight out of the classroom and went outside and played down ball, or nine square, four square, whatever you refer to it, for about that whole kind of 75-minute period. Until our maths teacher went and found them. So any opportunity Bailey got to get outside and to do sport, he was always doing. And, yeah, the academic side of things, I can't say that he loved sitting at a desk, but he got through. He got through to the end, so that was fine.
Which, I mean, that's an amazing story. There's a whole bunch of teachers now going, right, so when the boys ask to go next door to study, they're not really studying. I've got to check on them. That's a great story, and I'm sure that's not an isolated story as well. But when, as a family, and even as do you call yourself a girlfriend, Erin? What's your title in this relationship?
Girlfriend, partner, whatever.
As a mum and dad, and then as a girlfriend partner, was there a time, mum and dad, when you thought, you know what, this kid could get drafted as an AFL player?
Look, as Erin spoke about before, he was a natural athlete at everything. He tried his hand at, he was a good cricketer, basketball, even table tennis, anything he could get his hands on. He just excel at everything. But AFL was obviously his passion. And I remember he said to me one day, "Mum, I'm going to be an AFL player." And my heart kind of broke, but it was like, it wasn't realistic at the time. And we never dreamed of him becoming an AFL player. We were hopeful, but, you know, so competitive and hard to get there. And
how old was he at that time when he said that, when he said, "Hey, Mum, Dad, I'm going to be an AFL player"?
Oh, probably about, I remember he won his first premiership in under 11s at the football club. Mm-hmm. And I remember his coach saying to the team after the win, "Savour it, enjoy it, boys. You know, you're only under 11s, but this might be the only chance that you get to play in a premiership and win it." So, and then once he finished his junior football, he went into the senior football at the Edith Farlas Medawa Football Club, and he played as a 16-year-old. His coach at the time then was Troy Shannon, gave him the opportunity to play in the first 22, and they got into the grand final that year in 2013, and they were 6 goals down going into the last quarter, and they came back and won it, and wow, it was amazing. Yeah. Mm. After that year, so that was 2013, he got invited down to train with the Stingrays, Danny Long Stingrays, and he was only there for 1 year because usually from what I believe, because honestly, Rod and I knew nothing about the process of, like, we never pushed him to anything. Like, we just let him do, yeah, same with the other kids, just do what you enjoy kind of thing.
But
he only spent 1 year at Stingrays and then got drafted to the Western Bulldogs at pick 45. So, yeah, it was a different pathway probably to most of the kids these days.
Well, that's very good. And Erin, what would you say about that? As a, you know, was there a time when he would, you know, saddle up again, you know, with other students and yourself and say, you know, "I'm going to make an AFL draft one day, or an AFL team"?
He never really mentioned it in younger year levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably wasn't like what Shell said, you know, when he got picked to play Stingrays, and that was in his last year of high school as well. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, oh, hang on a minute, you know, this could actually happen. Mm-hmm. But he's very, how can I put this? He's very arrogant when he's around his friends, but when he knows, you know, when things are going to get tough, he's quite humble. So during that year of high school, that last year of school, when he probably knew that he was a sniff at getting picked, he was still very humble, and he didn't kind of advertise it to any other students around school. So it was certainly a shocker. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't think he was going to get drafted either. I hadn't really seen him play too much besides his highlights reel. And I obviously knew he played Vic back in grade six, but besides that, he had kind of just been chipping away at local leagues. So a different run at it, but yeah, amazing that he made it in the end.
Oh, very. And talk us through what happened when he was drafted. Where were you guys? You know, what did you see? How was it as an experience?
Okay, so.
Oh, we're all sitting
here. We're all here. Like, so as Aaron said, he is very humble and he doesn't like to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
So it was basically just Rod, myself, Aaron, and obviously we've got another two children, Harley and Taylor.
Yeah.
So
mum and dad.
And my mum and dad, yeah. So we're all sitting here waiting, thinking, you know, is he gonna hoping that not getting our hopes up too high. And anyway, number 45 come along and they read out his name and then just went off. Well, yeah. I think I did more than anyone. I think Bailey and Aaron were just sitting there in shock. And then as soon as, like, obviously everyone else, all the other family was watching from their own houses. But then within 10 minutes, there was a million people in our house just celebrating. His aunties went down to the local AFL store and brought basically every Western Bulldogs merchandise that they could get their hands on. And, yeah, so we've got photos of everyone, yeah, all this Bulldog stuff, because growing up, Bailey and Rod and myself and even my family, we were all Collingwood supporters.
Yeah.
And one of his idols was Scott Pendlebury.
Yeah.
And you know, and then seeing him playing on Scott Pendlebury, you know, in his first year. Yeah. Like standing behind him, beside his idol, you know, on the big stage, kind of, well, not the biggest stage that's coming Saturday, but yeah, no, it was awesome. Yeah,
really pretty amazing. I mean, just to hear the story of him getting drafted, and then I guess, like you said before, you didn't think, you were hopeful, but you didn't know whether he'd make it. And now he's in a grand final, which is pretty amazing in itself. And, you know, this will be going live just before it, and we don't want to jinx it, but they're a great chance, really, to take home the trophy. You guys must be pinching yourselves, are you?
Yes, we're really so excited, but really disappointed, obviously, that we can't all be there with him, or it's not in Melbourne at the MCG. But look, you know, he's been away with the COVID situation. He's been away from home a lot this year and even last year. So, you know, I text him every night before a game and say, good luck, mate, da da da. And I'm sure we'll celebrate. He'll hear us from Melbourne cheering for him.
So how has it been then for you, Aaron, with Bailey away so much? Because it's not just this year, it's last year as well. They spent a lot of time, thank goodness the Queensland Hub existed, because the sport wouldn't have got up off the ground, but they spent a lot of time away. It's not like normal where he'll come home, train, come home, play, come home and all that. But how did you cope and how did the relationship go?
Yeah, good question. So last year was a big one. I think Bailey was away for just over 3 months, it was in the end. You know, 5 weeks turned into 3 months. Mm-hmm. And similar this year, it's been kind of a little bit in the hub, a little bit home, and now away again for the last few weeks. Personally, I'm very grateful that I'm a primary school teacher, so I've worked the whole way through, and we've got two dogs that I look after here at home while he's away. So I've got work down here in Melbourne, which is fine, which keeps me busy. And I think Bailey, you know, he's very much a homebody as well. He loves being at home, but he has really enjoyed probably the experience of being away and being able to just focus on footy and not have, you know, the worries of COVID in Melbourne or just, you know, the day-to-day kind of things that arise. He hasn't had to dodge any of those obstacles being away.
Well, I guess this leads us to the next question. And Aaron, I'll get you to answer this question after Michelle and Rod have answered it, but from a teacher's perspective, not a girlfriend's perspective, what would you say as a parent and a teacher to anyone who thinks they've got the next AFL draft as a 12-year-old living with them right now? Because often parents, I don't know if you'd agree with this or not, but you must have been around parents that are pretty passionate in your day.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we like to live vicariously through our kids and we want the best for our kids. But what advice would you give to the parents and what advice would you give as a teacher to these kinds of parents?
Well, as parents, as I said before, we never pushed any of our kids. They're all very sporty and they've all obviously got their own niches. And, you know, his brother's plays local football and he's a cricketer and stuff as well. And Taylor, his sister, plays women's football and she's was a good netballer. But, look, honestly, just let them enjoy it. Have fun. Yeah. Enjoy it. And you know you can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go out, do your best, and just make sure you have fun doing it.
And see what happens. Simple as that. Work hard.
We're going to come back to that, Rod, because I think that's a really important aspect about fun. Let's go to you, Aaron. What would you say to teachers that have, you know, they're you know, in a sense, putting some form of expectation on the students that they might be really good as a 12-year-old? What would you say to those parents?
Yeah, geez, that's a tough one. Personally, I think having seen, you know, you can even look back at who's playing in that state team that Bailey was in, and there's only a small handful that are still in the system today, 10, 12 years on kind of thing. So personally, at, you know, such a young age, as a teacher, the focus is to still, you know, person first rather than player. So I guess still making sure that, like Rod said, they're enjoying what they're doing, still learning, still being able to be a 12-year-old because, gosh, so much can happen and it is such a tough industry to break into that even if you think, you know, you've got the gun child at 12, you really need to develop that human as a human first before you've got, you know, the limelight of having the next superstar in your lounge room kind of thing.
I love what you just said, person first, player second. And, Rod, you said something interesting that it's all about fun. And in my opinion, and I'm sure I'm not alone here, fun is very important to keep kids in sport for a longer period of time. So in relation to that, Rod, what did you do as a dad to help keep the enjoyment factor, the enjoyment of sport for Bailey?
Oh, just went out on the weekends and that, had a kick around and just mucked around with him with the football and just made sure he had fun out there. Because if you get too serious with it, they sort of drop off a bit and then a lot of weight gets onto them. And, yeah, so just enjoyed football and the people around you. That's the main thing.
I reckon one of the best things, sorry, Raph, that Rod and Shell did was, you know, Bailey still went to just the local high school and it wasn't, you know, you need to move to the best club, you need to move to an independent grammar school to really push yourself. So, you know, Bailey got to play at his club that, you know, Rod's and his Uncle Craig are famous for playing down there. Like, that's the enjoyment factor. It's not pushing you to go to the best club in the league. It's still play where you want to play. And if you're going to be good, you're going to be good no matter where you play.
Another great thing you guys have said, you coming up with the gems, you guys. It's pretty good. And, Rod, what you meant before, I'd imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, with the weight comes upon them. You mean the weight of expectation, like the pressure of having to perform on the big stage and always being too serious. Is that the kind of thing you were talking about?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just enjoy the game and go with it. Simple as that. There's no pressure at all.
And that's a lot easier said than done for parents, isn't it? To allow their kid to enjoy it, to allow their student as a teacher to just have fun in sport. How important do you think the fun factor, let me put it this way, there's competitive sport and then there's just having sport to kick it around, like what you said before, Erin. Just playing down ball, just playing square ball, just no competition, not playing for a medal, not playing for houses, not playing for money. But how important is the non-competitive sport within sport?
I mean, I see it as super important, I guess, from a teaching perspective and from a sports person myself, that when you take the kind of that high level competition away and you are just playing that recreational sport, that's where you learn things like how to, you know, manage yourself, manage teammates, self-umpiring, all of that comes into play. And I think you can learn a lot about yourself as a competitor when you take the competition away. And I know Bailey certainly, like what Rod said, always playing basketball in the front yard or footy down the oval or cricket in the street. That's Bailey's like childhood in a nutshell. So I think you can definitely see that those elements have made him a really good competitor today. But like Rod said, the pressure hasn't actually been on him too much because he does it for the enjoyment.
Which is great. And I think you, Michelle and Rod, you said it before that he played a lot of sports. It might surprise some here or some listeners that are listening to this that before, when Erin told the story of them sneaking out to play, they weren't sneaking out to play football. They were sneaking out to play square ball or down ball. And she just mentioned cricket. She just mentioned basketball. It's important in the development of kids. Well, I should pose it as a question rather than a statement. Is it important in the development of kids to play lots of sports and enjoy lots of sports as they grow up?
I think definitely. Like I had a list here, all of our kids have tried basically every sport that you can think of, like even down to even when Bailey comes home now and he, you know, catches up with mates that he obviously doesn't get to see as often as he would like to now. But, we've got a cricket pitch in the backyard and they still have fun in the backyard. Table tennis table because he's so competitive, pool. anything he can get his hands on, having the sibling rivalry as well. That's always good, but
So lots of sports are important for their development, which is brilliant stuff. Now, as parents, then I'm talking to you guys as parents. How did you balance? You just mentioned you got three kids, so Bailey's oldest.
Bailey's just turned 25 in July. Then he's got a brother Harley who just turned 23 in July, and he's got a sister Taylor who turned 21 in July.
Nicely even spaced out. How did you balance the sporting achievements of all the kids? Because there would have been a time when Bailey was, you know, getting the best and fairest and all that, but there would have been a time when Taylor and also Harley were also competing and you know, winning awards. How did you balance that as parents, as the attention?
The other two wouldn't say, but we thought, you know, we treat them all like I get a kick out of it myself just watching them play what they love and if they're happy doing it. Travel, didn't it? You know, there were some early mornings and very cold mornings that you thought, oh, what do I have to do? But, you know, you did it for the love of it because you loved watching them play and loved watching them be happy in what they were doing.
Yeah. And you must be proud as punch too, Rod, with what Erin said before, that Bailey, who now becomes an AFL Premiership player, can come home and play in, you know, if he wants to, just kick the ball around where you are where you played and where you grew up as a footy player. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. He still goes down the club and he enjoys people down there. He knows a few. Yeah. Well, he played a played with a few in the grand final.
Yeah.
And in the 13 grand final.
Yeah.
So he goes down there and sees a few of them.
Yeah. In a sense, there. I mean, I think this is right, Aaron, that as players, they're under contract not to play in the little leagues or the not to get injured because they're playing against, you know, obviously the fairly expensive players and injury is really important. Mm. So how then, this is for you, Aaron, and then we'll come to Mum and Dad. Yes. As a girlfriend, how do you keep the boundary between being a girlfriend and letting the coaches do the coaches thing, so to speak? Is that a hard boundary for you to keep?
That's a tricky one. I think, so yeah, as a footy player myself, it's definitely got the pros and cons. So, I mean, Bailey probably appreciates that I can understand maybe if it's not been a great game or it's been a loss or whatnot, not to, you know, poke the bear and all that. But sometimes, yeah, I must admit, I do watch him and I'll watch the games and I want to know, you know, what was the set play? What was that code you did? You know, why did you kick it that way instead of that way? So there's the con, I think, that Bailey's like sometimes, you know, he comes home and, you know, it's almost another coaching, you know, aspect here. But I think in saying that, both having similar, I mean, I'm certainly not a professional footballer, but having that background, you do kind of pick up on little things and know what would you want to hear or do after the game is all said and done. So that kind of weaves into our relationship, I guess.
That's good. And what about yourself, Michelle and Rod? Was there, and maybe even when he was young, was there a time or how did you keep the balance between just letting the coach do the coach thing and mum and dad doing the mum and dad thing? Was that hard to keep that balance?
It was easy for me because I just loved watching them. But watching Rod's probably more Rod and his Rod's brother, as Aaron said before, had a big influence on his football career, obviously. But, you know, they used to go out at halftime and give him
I used to go out and say, "You getting anywhere near the ball yet?" Having a little bit of fun with you. Craig used to go out and say, "What are you doing there? Why wouldn't you get closer? Or why didn't you pick that goal?"
We'll call it extra coaching sessions at halftime. Yeah. That's what we'll call it, extracurricular coaching.
And then I said, like, you know, as things got a bit more serious, it was like, well, don't go out there because the coach is probably telling him to do one thing and you guys are telling him to do another thing.
And then at halftime, the coach is like, what are you doing there? Well, my dad told me to go out there and be there, so that's what I'm doing. Now, last question, and again, this is coming to you, Aaron, as a teacher now, and this is hand in glove for you as a question for you. We'll come to you first. How do you balance the importance of education? Because as a teacher, you must see education is important. And for someone like Bailey, who had to have trained and still does trains, you know, 20, 30, 40 hours a week, how do you balance the elite sport and elite sports person and education when they're going through school? We'll come to you first.
Yeah, that's really tough. That's, I mean, that's something that Bailey is even still trying to juggle with now. Right. Thankfully, the AFL are really strong with making sure that they have, you know, studies or another career kind of running concurrently with their footy career so that when all is said and done, they can seamlessly move into something after footy. But definitely, I mean, gosh, it's a tricky question when you're looking at a high school age or even a primary school age when you know that they are having to put in the extra hours to get where they want to be. Geez, it's tricky. I mean, it's one of those ones where you need to know the family and you need to know the student or the player, if you like, and try to figure out if you can, you know, weave schoolwork in where they're going to appreciate it. So, you know, for example, that maths class, if our maths teacher had figured how much the boys love sport, then that's a matter of going, huh, how can I put sport into the maths curriculum so that they are still going to be driven and so that they can see, hey, I need maths to be a better sports person. I need to be a better sports person to do maths kind of thing. Yeah. So being able to weave the two together is an amazing way that I think any teacher could really encourage the sports person and the student at the same time.
And that must be good then, Aaron, coming from a girlfriend's perspective, when you've got that active boy in the classroom, you can go, right, I can see now what you're doing here, buddy. I can see that you need a bit more attention in terms of just being out, go climb a tree, go run the monkey bars, and then come back and do some kind of education. Michelle and Rod, how did you balance it through his high school? Like you talked, Aaron talked about before about him going to the local primary school and local high school. How did it balance in terms of how much time he needed to put into playing footy?
A hard one. Look, he wasn't, you know, overly academic. Bailey kind of, because he loved his sport so much, he did his work and he was good at it, but he probably just did what he had to do.
So is academia or education, is it something that comes naturally to him, or is it something that he naturally has to work harder for?
Oh, he would have to work harder for it, I'd say, yeah.
So it's hard, I guess it's hard to balance that as a parent. In a sense, you would say, right, just go and do what you have to do and do, you know, turn up to class, submit your work as best you can, but obviously then not expect that they would get the 100% or the 98% kind of thing.
No, and I was probably more the disciplinarian teacher, like from disability or whatever, but I thought, you know, you've still got your, like, if this doesn't work out, not that we're talking AFL footy at that stage, if this doesn't work out, you know, you need to have a good education behind you to do something else.
So then where does Bailey hope to be after AFL? Like, he's obviously not going to play AFL for the rest of his life, but, you know, fast forward 10 or 15 years from now.
Well, I know, and Aaron could probably tell you more, but I know he's done, like, the AFL and the footy club do put emphasis on education while they're playing the footy afterwards.
Yeah.
And I know he's done a business management degree, and he's doing carpentry at the moment. Carpentry. Yeah.
Wow.
And which his little brother's not happy with, because he finished his apprenticeship last year, and then you got, you know, Bailey coming to him and Harley said, I had to do 4 years, you only have to do it in this. So but when he comes home, they have a ball together making things, and so it's really good. Yeah.
Right. Where does he hope to be?
As far as long term plans to, like, after football, I've got no idea. Aaron might have more of an idea.
Any thoughts, Aaron?
Look, it probably changes pretty often. I mean, he hopes to still be in the system in, to be honest, probably another kind of 10 years' time. He's probably one of the players. He's been very lucky without injury, only kind of one serious injury. So he's one of those ones that might keep flying through. But, yeah, he's done some business stuff and some carpentry stuff. So I think at the moment he'd be leaning towards being kind of like a project manager in that building kind of space. So not always necessarily on the tools every day and doing labor every day, but checking in on work sites and kind of doing the management side of things. But he also is now dabbling in kind of accounting and the money side of things. So he might have a office job post footy, who knows.
Very good. So he's done a bit of management, bit of chippy, bit of accounting. And he can play footy as well, apparently. So he's an all-round good guy and very talented young man. And what's your – I mean, I think this is a dumb question, but what's your hope for Saturday? Because, I mean, realistically, I'm sure you guys would be proud win or loss. I was going to say win, loss or draw, but there is no draw. Yeah. Win or loss, but there must be a part of you that's thinking this is just exciting just to sit down and watch this young man play in this big stage.
Yeah, it's pretty much the pinnacle of every footballer's dream, I suppose. Or, you know, that's why they play footy. So we're very, very excited, but at the same time very nervous, because, you know, not just for Bailey, but and Aaron and all of our family. We're both from big families that, you know, he's had heaps of support from, and everyone supports him. But also for his teammates and the coaches and everything, it will just be absolutely amazing if they won on Saturday. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
How are you feeling about Saturday, Aaron?
I'm pretty cruisy. Like I said, you know, it's two teams, you know, Melbourne and Western Bulldogs have both had stellar years. So hopefully it's a close game. And to be honest, whoever wins on the day is going to be pretty amazing. My hope is that the Dogs will get up, Bailey will have 30 and win Norm Smith. That'd be, you know, the best thing. But as long, honestly, as long as he's happy with the whole experience, then we can just sit back and enjoy it as well.
Well, look, hopefully it'll be a close one, like you said, and judging by the last two games that both teams have played, it was amazing. The last couple of games, they just came out guns blazing. But we're thinking of you guys because it is tough not being there, but, you know, you get to watch it on the big stage. But at least at the end of the day, you'll get Bailey home, so that'll be nice after it's all said and done, after they've done what they do to celebrate.
Yeah,
and get him home, so... We just thank you for your time today and we'll be thinking of you on Saturday and good luck to all the players, but in particular Bailey Dale. He's a sensational young man.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ref.